friends. Some of you might see yourselves up there. So praise God. Thank you, Jesus, for everything. Now that's a family. Wow. So good. Thank you, Jesus. Ah, there you go. Thank you, Jesus. Look how the Lord brings people together. Isn't that just such a blessing? We're just so grateful and thankful, Lord, for the time at Kmart and the time on the bus, the time back home here. Just thank you, God. Thank you for Mr. Sunshine with his Merry Christmas shirt, sweater. I don't know if he won the award for singing or not, but we'll give it to him. You should have. Hey, that's great. So we have the wrapping station, and then we have the kiddos. Some of the things we didn't all see that were still going on yesterday. There we have upstairs. That's awesome. Thanks, guys. Ah, the man with the salad. Thank you for the kitchen crew. You were awesome. Thank you for the crew in the clothing donation room. You were awesome. Thank you for the wrapping crew. And just thank you guys for just showing the love of Jesus. We're just so grateful. Thank you, Lord. Oh, that's fun. Everybody seeing themselves somewhere in this? Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yeah. It was a busy place yesterday. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I like that. Children. Look at the love of God. Don't you love it how he just loves to release himself in so many ways? We just love gift of Christmas. We just love the opportunity. We'd like to have that every day, wouldn't we? The food was scrumptious. We're so grateful for all those who took part in that, but also the places that gave us the food. There's a bunch of them, so thank God for them. Come on, look at this. Let the little children come to me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. They were really encouraging, weren't they? Yeah. Little world changers here. Let's thank God for this day. We love singing the Christmas carols. There's nothing like Pastor Bill leading Christmas carols with that booming voice. That was great. Thank you, dance team. That was awesome. Woohoo! So good. What a great message. Message of hope. Love seeing people say, I want to run down there. I want to give my heart. I want to give my life to Jesus. That was so awesome. Thank you, Holy One. So good. Such a picture of heaven, really. Just thank God for this. And guests who are here today, family, just never forget what the Lord did. It's by, not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. We just thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Thank you for the fiery message. Papa Bill, that was so good. We love it. We love healing and miracles and deliverance and intimacy with the Lord and just connection in the Spirit. And we love to show these pictures just to give God glory and to thank him for all that he's done. Thank you for making time, carving time. Put it on your calendar for next year, the first Saturday of December, so that you don't have a schedule conflict, you know, a year in advance. You guys can come. It's going to be the first Saturday in December. Little bit of healing and deliverance after that. That was fun. A lot of healing and deliverance. We just thank God for that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for transformed lives. Thank you, Holy One. Amen. Can we just give the Lord a big thank you? Thank you. And I want to thank Amanda Bridenstine. Can we just say thank you, Amanda? And her team with Cynthia and everybody else. So you can't do it alone, but God bless you, hon. Thank you. And for those who've helped years before, Deanne and others, God bless you. And this is our 12th year, so praise God. We're going to do it again. Amen? So mark your calendars. What's next 2017, first week in December on Saturday? Do we know it? Do we know the date? Mark it down, okay? We need you guys. So we're going to have an expansion, I believe, next year. And just a very brief announcement so we can hear what Pastor Bill has. A lot of things coming up. I think Cynthia might have a few announcements. It's December 2nd? Okay, a few announcements. Just so grab these. We don't have a video, so we're going to cut to the chase and hear what we're doing in December.
Our regular stuff this week, starting with Holy Clubs on Monday, Soaking and Fire and Wind service on Tuesday. Wednesday, nursing Legends Nursing Home Outreach. Oh, no Legends this week because there's something special on the 14th. Wednesday, December 14th, there's going to be Christmas caroling at the Legends Nursing Home at 6 o'clock. There's a sign up out in the foyer. If you have questions, you can see Chris and Steve. So that's on the 14th, Christmas caroling at the Legends Nursing Home. All are welcome, as families, children. If you can sing or make a joyful noise or not, you are still welcome to come. This Friday, December 9th, is our healing rooms from 7 to 8:30 here. That's just an opportunity. There will be a team here who loves to pray for people, physical, emotional, any kind of healing that is needed. So people will be here from 7 to 8:30. This Saturday, December 10th, is the Edge for young adults, and we will be celebrating Christmas together. I'll just leave it at that, and you can come find out what that means. So that'll be here Saturday evening. And then please mark your calendars for the following week. As I mentioned, the Christmas caroling on Wednesday. Friday, December 16th, we're going to have a Watch of the Lord, but it's a shorter one. It'll start at 7 till midnight. So it'll, yes. From 7 to midnight is going to be the last one for the year. And what that is we come together for a time of worship and prayer. We just get together and do things that the Lord leads us to. We pray for families, for our country, for our nation, for each other. We laugh, we cry, we sing, we dance. We just get together into the presence of the Lord and seek his face. So that's Friday, December 16th from 7 to midnight this time. Then Sunday, December 18th is our Kingdom Kids Christmas program during our morning service. So the kids will be doing their Christmas program, and that is again on the 18th. Then Sunday, December 25th, however, on Christmas Day, there will be our Frontline Family Christmas service from 11 a.m. to 12:30. So that'll be here, Christmas, family, communion, a lot of good stuff. That is on Christmas Day from 11 to 12:30. So mark your calendars, and then we will surely have our New Year's Eve celebration to end the year and start the new year together, and we'll have more specific details about that coming, but that's December, obviously the 31st, to ring in the new year. And there is Kingdom Kids practice today after church and the following Sunday.
And just want to mention, Tiana, where are you, T? This lady right here, she is the queen of New Year's Eve. So she is planning this, and we'll work together for some of this. But she will be the point person, the go-to person, and we'll have more details, very specific, this week. But that is New Year's Eve here from either 6:30 or 7 till whenever, 12:30-ish beyond. So we are definitely having a night of worship and praise and celebration, and also games and food and frolic prior to that. So we're going to combine that as we've done in the past, and there's going to be a special bridge between the two. So invite your family, invite your friends, and this is a great place for people to come in and see what's going on at Frontline. It's a lot of fun, and it's very specifically spiritual as well as fun. So, but it's kind of Jehovah sneaky coming in, just saying, wow, what a great place. So we have a lot to celebrate and thank God for in the prophetic realm as well. And just a really quick word from Chuck Pierce. Those of you who follow him, he's a prophet in the nation. But he feels also, among other prophets, that November 28th, for 10 days, there is a very, very strong place in the spirit that the Lord is saying, just because there's been an election, don't stop praying. It's very important to intercede right now. There is a shift going on in the heavenlies. And we do have President-elect Donald Trump, who is trying to do what he's trying to do with his cabinet and all of that, and you're all following that. But our role here is to support powerfully in prayer. And this is a man who, there's a 3-minute clip on my on my Facebook. It's not about the man, but go watch it, and it's about Israel. And he's speaking for 3 minutes about Israel. And any place, any person, any group, any country that supports Israel has the blessing of God. And it's really powerful. So look for it. John Hagee's there, but he's 3 minutes after that. Really important. Any other quick announcement? Okay. I want to thank the volunteers who were not part of Frontline, who were here yesterday, and you were invited to come and help serve. God bless you. Didn't know us, but God bless you. And some of you are here today. I don't know who you are. If you were here yesterday and you came as a volunteer to help serve outside of Frontline, maybe you're first or second or 10th connection, I don't know. But if that's you, would you just raise your hand so we can thank God for your life? If that's you, there's one over here, a couple more. God bless you guys. Thank you. We really appreciate you. Kids are released now to Kingdom Land. God bless you all. Kingdom Land.
Kind of hear the majority of it go down the hall. It's like traveling with the children of Israel in the desert. You know, it had to be loud. All those people and their animals and their children. Heaven's loud. It's loud here, and then we all of a sudden get quiet. It's interesting. So, since we're quiet, we'll pray. Father, we thank you, God. You're here for us. Are we here for you? Are we here to hear you? Because you want to speak to us. You speak to our hearts. You speak to spirits that are alive. You speak to spirits that are dead. And you speak life to them so they'll come alive. Lord, give us life today. We're open. We're open to you. We're ready to hear life from you, Holy Spirit, life that changes our lives, life that changes our destiny. God, we're here to hear you. We're here, Holy Spirit, listening. We let our spiritual ears be wide open. We let our spiritual eyes see your revelation. We're here right now, quieting our hearts before you, saying, yes, speak to us. Speak to all of us. We need it. We need you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Do that for us today. We know you will when we ask you to speak to us. You always do. And it makes a difference in us. Thank you, Jesus, for answering that prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we have a quote today, right? Should be flashing up there any moment. So many believe that evil has more power than good because that's been their personal experience. What they see and hear all around them, that incites a foreboding fear deep inside. But the power of love is what gives good more power than evil. A person must experience the perfect love of Jesus to cast out the deep-seated fear in order to experience the goodness of God triumphing over evil that is so evident in the world. We're going to talk about fear being cast out by love today. Love is much more powerful than we can imagine. We hear love, 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 you know, in the church, in the world. We want to talk about perfect love. That's the only love that's powerful. You know, the Beatles said all you need is love. Listen to these lyrics. Love, 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 love. That's how the song starts. There's nothing you can do that can't be done. Nothing you can sing that can't be sung. Nothing you can say, but you can learn how to play the game. It's easy. All you need is love, you know. Nothing you can make that can't be made. No one you can save that can't be saved. Nothing you can do, but you can learn how to be you in time. It's easy. All you need is love. All you need is love. All you need is love. Love. Love is all you need. There's nothing you can know that isn't known. Nothing you can see that isn't shown. There's nowhere you can be that isn't where you're meant to be. It's easy. All you need is love. All you need is love. All you need is love. Love. Love is all you need. What a bunch of hooey. These guys, you know, there are people studying their lyrics. And the ones that are still alive, which are only two of them, are laughing all the way to the bank. They know all they did was rhyme words. You know that only one of them made it out of high school? All the rest of them flunked out. No, that doesn't mean anything. I mean, we've had people that have been geniuses that have not done well in school. That's not the point, but they just rhymed words and somehow convinced people that they had the answers to life, and people followed that. They followed that, and they're still trying to figure out the depths of their lyrics. Hate you. They're still trying to figure out the depths of their lyrics. And Jesus rescued me out of that because I thought these guys were great back in the 60s. But here's a few young 20s fooling the world that they had some answers and making lots of money in the meantime. They couldn't even keep their group together. In 1970, they broke up and they had animosity that lasted the rest of John Lennon's life. And then, of course, he was assassinated in 1980. It's a sad story. If anyone thought that they had the answers, that love was the answer. They've had broken marriages and all kinds of things between them as group members and so on. They didn't know the way to love. They didn't have perfect love. They didn't have anything that cast out any problems in their lives. They might be very rich, but they had all kinds of difficulties and problems that they didn't allow God to solve. In fact, John Lennon said, "We're bigger than Jesus Christ." And he ended, you know, his life at the end of a bullet. It's like, wow. But for no good, you know, Jesus died at least for us. He had an end that meant something. So here it is that love, you know, in this time of year, you know, love your neighbor. I have more people tell me love your neighbor during Christmas than any other time of the year. We're feeling this kind of, we should love one another. And so yesterday what was powerful to me was, you are loving out of the reservoir of Jesus. If you were making an impact yesterday on people's lives, you were loving out of the reservoir of what Jesus gave you. Or it wasn't enough for people. Because human love is very limited, very wishy-washy. You love somebody one day, the next day, oh, I don't love them anymore. But Jesus doesn't have wishy-washy love. He just continues to love when people crucify him, when they, you know, beat him and go after him. And that's the kind of perfect love that changes the world. Not the love of the Beatles, not the love of the world, not human love. It doesn't change anything. So perfect love casts out fear comes from 1 John 4:16 through 18. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so we are in the world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Fear is powerful. Fear is very powerful. So we have a choice. We can take the fear of God, which is even more powerful, or the fear in man, the fear that so easily resides in us. You know, once we're born fearful. And some of us seem to overcome it on the outside. But fear is in people's lives, wreaking havoc. Fear is frightening in its power. It can capture people's minds, virtually take over people's wills, debilitate people's bodies, destroy healthy emotions, cripple people in so many ways. But love from above is greater, more powerful. It's rescuing. It's redeeming. Many years ago, my mom, who was a mail carrier, she just walked off the job one day. Just walked off. Now, you know, the post office, if you work for them, they expect you to deliver the mail each day. And if you don't show up to deliver the mail, sort it and then deliver it, you know, you are a missing piece. So they went looking for her, and she was just wandering around on the streets. My father had passed a few years earlier, and she was just wandering around on the streets of this small town. So they took her to the local hospital, to the mental ward. And, you know, I called and I talked to the psychiatrist. I don't know if you've talked to many psychiatrists, but they don't have many answers. They only give problems and then give out medication. I mean, they only tell you about problems and then give out medication. The answer is in medication for them. So this woman was talking to me and telling me about my mother, how, you know, she needed this concoction of medication to help her in her present mental state. And, you know, I didn't believe in healing as much as I do today in that way. I didn't necessarily know a whole lot about that area, but what she was saying to me just sounded like, this is not going to help. And so I traveled from Ohio up to Michigan, and my mom was released to our family for Thanksgiving. And so we were at her cabin, And by the time I arrived, other relatives had delivered her to the cabin, and she was in a rocking chair going like this continually. Just like this. So I greeted her and hugged her and loved on her during that time, and she was on the drugs that the psychiatrist had prescribed. And yet, you know, there was this kind of rocking motion that wouldn't stop. So I talked to her after Thanksgiving about, you know, how she was feeling and so on, and we discussed whether what the psychiatrist was doing was any good for her. I gave her a Bible, suggested that she read things out of the Bible. My sister was involved, who didn't even care about God at that time. Later on, she received the Lord, but at that time, she thought the psychiatrist knew what they were doing. So here I am, 500 miles away, because I had to come home. I was a teacher at the time. 500 miles away, my mom is in the care of a psychiatrist that's giving her drugs that are making her rock like this. My sister is all for it, and she's in that area, 500 miles away. And kind of saying, well, you know, the doctors know. The doctors know. The doctors know. So I talked directly to my mom, and I said, what do you think about this? She said, well, I don't like the drugs. I'm thinking about throwing them away. I said, well, I can't really take a vote on that, Mom, but Jesus is so much bigger than whatever you're facing, whatever your fears are, whatever's going on in your heart right now. He's so much bigger. He's so much greater. His love can deliver you out of this. Now, my mom had always taken us to church. Two boys, 2 years apart, took us to church, two rowdy boys. But she, you know, didn't really have a close relationship with God. And this was a major, major, obviously, trial in her life. But that simple presentation of Jesus, that he was bigger than her problem, she acted on. She threw the drugs into the trash can. She read the Bible from her account. My sister said she threw the Bible in the trash can. But from the results of what happened, I don't think so. Because my mom was released from the hospital, and the next time I saw her, she was in her complete mind. She returned to her activities, she returned to work, and never went back to the psychiatric ward. Now, I'm 500 miles away. All I'm saying is Jesus is bigger than your problem. I probably didn't even express it very well because it's my mom. I'm trying to find the right words. It probably didn't sound powerful. It didn't make any difference. When she acted on perfect love, the perfect love of Jesus to rescue her, she was rescued. It was just that simple for her. Now, I know there are all kinds of complications with all kinds of things. Okay? Sometimes life isn't quite that simple. But my mom just made a step forward. That's all she did, towards the perfect love of Jesus. And it transformed everything for her. And later on, we had a moment in a hospital room when she was facing cancer, a quiet moment where I said, Mom, do you have your heavenly affairs in order? And she gripped my hand and she said, no. Would you like to have them in order? Yes. And she gripped my hand even more in fear. In fear. I could tell it was fear coming out of her, gripping my hand so tightly. And she prayed out. My mom was an equivocator. You know what that is? That's someone that says, how's the weather? You know, when you ask, how's the weather today? Oh, it's kind of good, it's kind of bad, it's kind of in between. I don't know. That's an equivocator. You know, they're kind of like, you know, don't take a stand on anything. So who are you voting for president? Oh, I don't know. One guy, you know, one's good, another, I guess. I don't know. You know, what do you think about your job? Oh, it's good some days, bad other days. But in that moment, would you like to receive Jesus and have your heavenly affairs in order? Yes. See, the perfect love of Jesus makes us take a vote. We have to take a stand. Yesterday, we took a stand to give out the love of Jesus to hurting people. And some of us were totally changed because there's some hurts in us, too. We were changed, giving out love, the perfect love of Jesus. You know, it can't be resisted. Before I even said, is there anyone courageous enough? Before I got courageous out, people were coming forward. Why is that? The perfect love of Jesus is irresistible when people open themselves to it. And all those precious ones yesterday that opened themselves up to this powerful, perfect love. That wasn't just a speech last night. I believe that. I saw my mom go from rocking like this to at Christmas time, from Thanksgiving to Christmas. When I showed up for Christmas, she's greeting me with cookies and coffee. Did I say coffee? Yeah. She made the blackest, darkest coffee on earth. It would stick on the way down, you know. It was that thick. You got the full flavor. We've seen demonic activity in Africa. In fact, on this recent trip to Ghana. You know, there's demonic activity going on in the United States, but we try to hide it away. But in Africa, they have no place to hide it. In the northern part of Africa, they don't have places where they could send someone who is demonized. So they come to the church. They come to the perfect love of Jesus. And we have what I call, affectionately, the swirly girlies. That, you know, when the Spirit of God is at work, when the presence of God is at work, these women just start to swirl. And they're under the influence of demonic powers. Sometimes they fall on the ground and they will roll in their beautiful hair because they love to doll it up in Africa for church. Their beautiful hair is rolling in the dirt. So you know it's not them that's causing the rolling around on the ground or the swirling that they do under the influence and power of Satan. Now, do we go, huh? No, we press in with the perfect love of Jesus that's able to deliver them from that kind of a state. And we pray for them. Years ago, there was a man by the name of Solomon, and we gave out the gospel. He came to receive Jesus, and he was going to come across a road to receive Jesus. He barely made it to the edge of the road, and he jumped up in the air like and did a flip and fell like on his shoulder and head in the middle of the road. Okay, backward flip. And fell on his head and shoulder in the middle of the road. And the village people were like, yeah, we know about him. It was not like the first time he had done this. And yet, he got up, and we were hoping he would come forward for the gospel. He ran out of his flip-flops, like just as faster than, you know, any Olympic runner, it seemed to us. It was just like, phew, ran down the road as far away from the presence of God and receiving Jesus as he could. So we sent some team members after him. And they, you know, they eventually catch up with him, and he slows down, and, you know, he's dazed. And they started praying for him, and we as a team went and prayed for him, and he was speaking out things in his language, basically the enemy saying, I'm good. Everything's good. You can stop praying now. So, of course, we didn't because it was a lie. He wasn't quite there yet. And he, in between, you know, some of these fits under the enemy's power, he would tell us that when he would go to church, He would bring his Bible and he would want to start to read it in church, and then he would have this manifestation of demons inside of his life every time he tried to read the word in church. So he had a heart for God, and yet he was overcome. His will was being affected by demonic powers. What's he need? The perfect love of Jesus. Something that's more powerful than demonic power. Don't be scared by someone that is under the demonic power of the enemy, because Jesus has already triumphed over the enemy and put him under his feet and under our feet if we follow Jesus. And so Solomon, you know, we spoke with him, prayed over him some more. He seemed to be at peace. What was going to be the test? Have him read the Word of God. See if he manifests. See if the demons try to overtake him again. He rose. He read the Word of God without any incident, without any demons taking over. And he kept reading it. And he read some powerful passages that we picked out for him to tell the enemy, you're done. You're finished. And so he ended up coming to church the next day, receiving more of what the perfect love of Jesus was all about. And he happened to be sitting next to another person who had had demons. And so two demoniacs, former demoniacs, sitting in church together, receiving more about the perfect love of Jesus. God's perfect love is more powerful than fear, more powerful than what fear can manifest. Those demonic activities have to go when the love of Jesus grows inside of a person's heart. You know, many of us have experienced health issues in our life. Fear actually has more power than any disease that we could ever have. And it's very hard to get rid of disease, physical conditions, injuries, emotional pain, unless we resist the enemy in his attempts to put fear on us. If he wins the fear battle, then often we lose the physical battle. So, you know, this has happened in my life and happened in the lives of many of you here. And so I'm reminding you of times when you won the battle against fear, and your battle against sickness or disease or injury left. And we don't understand everything about healing. We're still learning, aren't we? So I say this with a humble heart. But I can remember a time that I blacked out after playing a game of golf. I don't know whether I exerted too much or whatever, but I blacked out in our upper hallway. And Andy and Mary Pat came home to me blacked out in the upper hallway of our house. And so Andy shouted into my ear, and I kind of came to, and I ended up, feeling okay and fine and everything, and so got some water and some prayer and all that kind of thing. But I forget how this worked, but later in the day I was in the bathtub kind of like relaxing after this episode, and the enemy came to me. I was alone in the room, and the enemy came to me and said, you're going to die here. You're going to die in this bathtub today, right now. And I was like, what? You know, at first, this little bit of fear started to rise inside of me because I just passed out in the hallway. I just blacked out in the hallway. And this fear just started to arise. But you can become aware that fear is rising up in you. And Jesus is always there to offer the answer to that, perfect love. If we go with the fear, you're not going to end up in a good place. You know, there's every possibility that in that situation where I was very vulnerable after having that attack, you know, or whatever happened, physical problem that I had and I blacked out. I was very vulnerable. The enemy knew it. So it came to me like a flood when I was the most vulnerable. And if I had let that fear just continue to rise up, there's a possibility that I could have caused physical harm to myself in some way, shape, or form by the fear that I was willing to wrap myself around. And my heart could have palpitated, and you know, a number of things could have happened. But instead, the Spirit of God came to me with perfect love that casts out the fear. You don't want to believe this. This is the enemy. Identified him. This is the enemy. It's not me. You don't want to go this route. Tell him who's who. They said, I'm not dying in this bathtub. I'm a son of the Most High. I know Jesus. You're lying to me, and I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to get out of this bathtub right now and show you that Jesus is bigger than you are. And your voice is a lie to me, and I'm not taking it. So I got out of the bathtub, you know, and I'm standing up with my towel on, talking to the enemy in my bathroom. Now, you know. But the thing is, I learned from that. You can learn from that. There is a fear that can be so debilitating, a fear that comes when you're the most vulnerable. And yet, whether it's a quick turnaround or it's a continuing battle that turns around, it doesn't matter. The enemy is going down. He's going to be cast out by the perfect love of Jesus. James 4, 7 and 8. Therefore, submit to God. That's important. You know, any of us that are kind of play with being a little, you know, resistant to God when he wants us to do things a certain way. I'll kind of do it my way. I know you love me, and I'll kind of do it. You're playing on very dangerous ground because it says, therefore, submit to God. That's important. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. It's not just a quasi-evil. Evil has a leader. The evil kingdom has a leader. It has a king self-appointed. And his name is Satan. It's not just a murky, gurky kind of, you know, evil. It's a person that leads it. And he leads an army of demons against the believer, against the person that doesn't know God as well. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. We have to resist. We have to go after him. We have to kick him in the teeth. We have to say no. This perfect love of Jesus is much more worth my heart than your fear. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. You know, double-mindedness. Oh, I love Jesus. Oh, I don't love him that much. Oh, I'll follow Jesus. Oh, I don't really want to follow him that much. That leads a person to a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. You know, we have to go after him each day, after his perfect love each day. Use it as a weapon against the enemy, because the enemy is just not going to relent. He's going to come after us. He's going to come after us. He's going to come after us. And when you kick him in the teeth enough, he goes after somebody else. He doesn't like being injured by the perfect love of Jesus. He doesn't like to be told, you're going to lose. No. I'm going to keep to my time. For a change. This is how I don't keep to my time. I tell the entire story. Depression, panic attacks, bipolar, label after label after label. Don't take any labels. Did you hear that? Don't take any labels. They've told me I have. Don't take the label. Resist it with the perfect love of Jesus. We're to resist the enemy in his attempts to put fear on us. You know, labels are fear. Labels that we have. Well, you have dyslexia. Like, that's permanent. Jesus can turn so many of these things around in such a quick fashion if we'll just not believe that they're something that needs to stick to us like a label. Don't take any labels. You know, don't take the label old. I'm not taking it. I'm not taking that label. If I'm still kicking around at 92, I know she wants 120, but if I'm still kicking around like Pops is at 92 and he'll be 93 this week, then we tell him, you're not old. You're not 100 yet. I don't know what we're going to say when he hits 100. But, you know, we tell him he's not old. And he suddenly feels a little bit stronger, a little bit more encouraged. You know, taking the label old, kind of, you know, you start to feel the weight of the label. That's a heavy, heavy label, is the label old. So I'm not taking that label. I'm not taking it. Don't you take any of the labels that have been placed on your life. Do you know going through school, part of what they do is do the labeling? Kids would come to me and say, well, you know, they told me that I'm in this special class, so I'm a special student, and I'm special, but I don't feel special. It doesn't seem like a special class when you're pulled out of your other class and you have to go with these other guys, and some of them scare me. That's not too special. And I would tell them, you're no different than anybody else. You might have a problem here or there, but you have a lot to offer to a lot of people. And, you know, don't think that you're any different than someone else. You might overcome this year. You might not have to go back to that class. How about that? Let's do that. Let's work on that. Part of it was what keeps kids in those classes. It's not necessarily about academics or how fast they are at the, you know, at shooting the pistol. It has to do with fear, the label. They feel labeled. They get upset about it. They don't understand it. They get down. And, you know, they can be in depression while they're in this class that's supposed to help them gain and go forward. So we've got to let them know they're valuable. You're not, you know, as different as you think. You've got, look what you've got to offer. And I would try to say something where they offered something to the class or they answered a question no one else could answer. And that happens. And then they're like, oh, maybe I've been believing a lie. You know, inside themselves, they don't necessarily say it that way, but inside there's some spark that happens. Because they're starting to believe against the label. What if they've discovered the perfect love of Jesus in that process? Then the label can go and never be a problem to them. That's important for us to know. You know, when there was a demoniac, he had a label. And Jesus said, no more label. You are released. You're not a demoniac anymore. If someone is an alcoholic, you know, there's certain programs that tell them they're an alcoholic the rest of their lives. You are an alcoholic. You'll never get out of it. So don't even think that way, that you can be delivered out of it because that's just what you are. No, you're not. The perfect love of Jesus is bigger than alcoholism. And we're not even sure that there is an ism with that. It's the way the world says there is. But Jesus can deliver us from any addiction, anything inside the heart. And much of it is fear. Oh, I can never do anything with people that, you know, around people that drink because I might get pulled back into it. Well, There's some sense in that if you're not fully convinced that Jesus' perfect love has delivered you. That would make a lot of sense. But if the perfect love of Jesus has delivered you and you're ministering to people, and maybe people all over the earth, you can walk in as a former alcoholic into any bar and tell them how Jesus has delivered you. What a message. What a message to those still under the bondage of alcoholism. You know, how many different ways do we have these labels in the world? So many that come to stick on our forehead. And Jesus is a redeemer. He's a rescuer. He's much more powerful than we give him credit for. We say he's powerful, but then we listen to these labels and go, oh, like a label would stop Jesus? He raised the dead. He raised the dead. The one song today was about Lazarus. Did you catch it? He raised the dead. There are no labels that are too big for Jesus. No way. Don't be convinced by it. Some of these problems that people experience, maybe they're generational. Great-grandpa Elmer or great-grandma Maud lost the battle to fear. Okay? In your family, you may know family members that have lost the battle to fear. Now that you know that fear is such a difficult problem, beyond disease, beyond depression, beyond all that, fear is a root of many of these things. You can think back over your generations and what you've heard about your family. Oh, they never won the battle against fear. You know what you should do about that? You become the pioneer in the family. You become the one that's going to win over fear. I am not going to be one that submits to fear. I'm going to let the perfect love of Jesus rescue me to the point that everybody in my family will know that Jesus Christ delivers from fear and from labels and from disease and from anything that my family claims for itself. Well, you know, my mom was that way, and I hear my grandma was that way when she was younger, and you know, that's a pattern that needs to be broken. Are you going to stand up as the pioneer and believe the perfect love of Jesus casts out that fear? Really believe that, and permanently. It casts it out permanently. Not, I'm going to struggle and I'm going to be okay. No, I'm going to struggle and I'm going to be. No, he is going to do it at some point permanently in your life. And you're the pioneer then. Wear that label. I was going to say, put that in your hat and smoke it, but I guess that doesn't work, does it? Pioneer stands up to the fear. That can be you. The pioneer. Think of your family members. Do you love them? The best that you can do for them is to be a pioneer with perfect love to cast out the fear out of you and then start casting it out over your family. I'm not saying go to Christmas dinner, you know, and take your place and then say, I just have something to say to the family here gathered. This Jesus is the reason for the season. And I just thought we'd cast out some fear right now. Come on. Let's go. Who's first? Come on down to the head of the table. I'll be casting out fear right now with Jesus' perfect love. No, I'm not saying that. Jesus didn't go around, you know, like that. I mean, when it came down to it, he would get to the business eventually, you know, but maybe this will have to happen, you know, one-on-one and a little bit of talk before you get to that point. A little ministry before that point. It wouldn't be bad that they know Jesus first. But it does kind of make a cool picture, doesn't it? Stand at your family gathering. Hey, you! I know what's going on! Perfect love will cast that out. Awesome. The key to receiving is receiving the one that defines love. You know, in the passage that we read, it says God is love. And we just go, oh yeah, God is love, love, love. Love is the most powerful thing there is. Not the Beatles kind of love, not human love. It's way too limited, way too limited. So if you go into your family with your own love and you kind of, you know, build yourself up, I'm gonna love this time. I'm gonna love people. I'm gonna serve them a little bit. It'll run out. If you go in with the perfect love of Jesus, it doesn't have to run out. It can go beyond that day you decide to serve them, and you might serve them for months, years, in some way or another. You'll find a way to give out that perfect love to that person over time. It's amazing what God can do with his perfect love. Love doesn't define Jesus. Oh, Jesus, he's a lover. He's, you know, there's so much love that comes from Jesus. No, Jesus is love. When you carry him, you carry the perfect love. It's not like you go out looking for perfect. Oh, if I could just get a little more perfect love, I can handle my life. You have perfect love inside of you if you know Jesus. If you've received him, if you received him last night, you have the perfect love of Jesus dwelling inside of you. You are dangerous. You are dangerous to any demon. You are dangerous to any enemy. You are dangerous to your family members because that perfect love can overwhelm them to the point they want Jesus, even the hardest ones. Many of you know I led my mom to the Lord, I led my dad to the Lord, I led my sister to the Lord. None of them seem like good prospects. I only have a brother left. I need to trust in the perfect love of Jesus to overwhelm his heart. News is he's an alcoholic. Oh, even better, he has a label. Jesus can overcome the label. Sinner, overcome the label. Alcoholic, overcome any label, any condition, any position in life. Jesus' perfect love can overcome it. Jesus defines love. Love doesn't define Jesus. Jesus defines love. You see Jesus, you know Jesus, you have Jesus, and you have love that is perfect to give out to the world, to give out to the family. That's why perfect love casts out fear, not human love, not the world's type of love, but perfect love. The atmosphere and language of heaven is love. And he wants heaven to come to earth. That means he wants his perfect love casting out everywhere we go. Inside of us, casting things out. Casting all our burdens on him because he cares for us. Casting all our cares on him because he cares for us. Casting away fear as we do it. You know, if you cast away the burdens on you, you're casting away fear. The perfect love of Jesus is coming in. You don't have any burdens. I took them. That's what you're saying. Or what Jesus is saying. And, you know, you're letting him say that. You have no burdens because Jesus took them all. If you want that, you can cast them all on him. Everything you're facing can be cast on Jesus. And his perfect love then comes in and solves it somehow, some way. How are you going to do it this time, God? How are you going to solve it this time? And he goes, I have a way. Well, I don't. That's right. That's why you need me. But I have a way to solve this situation. Wow. I think I'll trust you, God. Good idea. You know, you go from driving the car to jumping in the back seat and let Jesus drive the car. You go from being the shepherd of yourself to letting him be the good shepherd of you. Some of us have it backwards. We kind of let Jesus ride in the car, but we never let him drive. We kind of let Jesus be maybe even the front seat, but we won't let him touch the wheel. Not gonna cast out the fear in your life. Eventually it'll eat you alive. He has to drive the car. He has to be the one in charge. Let him submit to God, resist the enemy, and he will flee from you. Don't resist to God. Don't submit to God. Don't resist the enemy. And guess what? He hangs with you. And you might not even know it. That he gets more influence than what you think is possible. Because you won't submit to God the way God wants, and you won't resist the enemy by submitting to God. It's true for any of us. Sobering, but true. But if we let the atmosphere and language of heaven be the atmosphere in our heart, then all of a sudden, all these fears that we're able to identify better after this message will be able to be cast out by his perfect love. His love is just too powerful. If we just pay attention to it, if we just receive it, things start going out of our lives. I had a fear of people big time as a teenager. Didn't talk much. Hard to believe, I know. So I decided to become a teacher. That would have been disaster. It was a good thing that I came to Jesus first. Because I actually cared about the students in front of me. Not just giving out information, giving out things that might help their life. You know that, this is way off the topic, but do you know that no one has a full education going through the school system? No one has a full education. There's gaps. There's holes. And it's what you do to educate yourself that fills all those in. They can take tests, even state tests, that measure where they're at and so on. But they can forget the very information they learned for the test right after that. We're not prepared for life by education, is my point. Having more education doesn't prepare you for life. Allowing fear to be cast out by his perfect love, that prepares you for life. I went through a lot of education and I was still fearful of people. That would have overwhelmed me at some point. I like to be a loner. I like to be in my room by myself. Now I go to crowds of people and tell them about Jesus. That's a big change. I've noticed it. I don't hide behind the curtain anymore. In fact, I got rid of the curtain. I can't hide behind it anymore. It's gone, that curtain of hair that I used to have. Literally. And it's a good thing. Because I'm no longer afraid of people because perfect love has cast that out. I want the best for people. I want more for people. I want some of what I've experienced in his perfect love. And I know there's more to come. It never stops. So stand to your feet. Do you know that in Psalms 139, 23, and 24, it says, "Search my heart, O God." And I'm going to tell you today, he'll find something. What he'll find is remainders of fear that need to be cast out. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. It doesn't matter how dedicated of a Christian you are. It doesn't matter how filled with the Spirit you are. There can be vestiges of fear that eventually take you down. But his perfect love is here this morning, this afternoon, whatever time of day it ended up being at the end of my message. For that to be cast out, the perfect love is here. He is here. That's why. It's divine love. There's nothing like it. It's much more powerful. Don't let the enemy make it standard status quo. Oh, I've heard that before. No, it's much too powerful to be put in that category. I've heard it before. It's new every morning. His compassion is new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, God. We pray for each one here, God. They're listening to you right now. Speak to them about their fears, about the things they want overcome in their life. It might be an addiction. It might be something that they fear in their in approaching people and in their work situation, God. They don't feel talented. They don't feel ready for whatever they're facing. Or they have so many burdens on their life, God, that they need released from those. They need to cast them on you. They need to see you as perfect love, casting out any fear that could be debilitating in their life, that could destroy their life. Lord God, we've seen it happen with so many people. They wanted Jesus. They followed him for a season, and they gave into the fears. I won't have enough money. I won't have enough position. I won't be powerful enough. I won't be this. I won't be that unless I do it my way. We say today no to all of that plan within ourselves. Jesus, shepherd us, lead us. Be the one in charge. Drive the car. Yes, God, you are that good to us. There's no fear in allowing you to take over and stay in charge and stay in control. Lord, we come before you and submit ourselves. We submit ourselves to your lordship. We submit ourselves to your perfect love. We submit ourselves to all that you are, these 700 names and titles that we need, every one of them activated in our life. Lord, you're much bigger than we allow you to be because the enemy tells us how small you are for us. No, you're not. Lord, you're big. You're mighty. You're huge. You're an overcomer. You're a winner. And the enemy is a liar. He's a liar. And if we have given into his lies, that's fear. And we say, let it be gone in each person here. Lord, they're responding to you. Each one here, God, hear their cry. They might not be even saying it out loud, but Lord, inside they're crying out to you. Deliver, rescue, come in and rejuvenate their love for you, that they would draw in near to you and you would draw near to them. Yes, God, they're doing it right now in this moment. Let it continue beyond this moment, beyond this service, beyond our time together here, that it would happen in their secret place at home, that they suddenly draw near to you. They come to your word with a new humility. They come to your word with a new value for it. It's not just a book on the shelf. It's life spoken into them. And then they, in their prayer time, they don't just pray. They hear. They hear from you that you want to speak to each person here to cast out more of that fear, to make it all go. Jesus, you want to speak to us individually. So God, when they're in their secret place, their secret time, or when they're walking through their house in a quiet moment, come to them and invite them into your presence. Invite them into your holy place. And they will respond to your invitation because they want more fear to go. And they want to be free. Knowing you, Jesus, is freedom. If we really know the real Jesus. So God, we submit ourselves to your perfect love this morning. We walk out with that as our goal to go after you, because you are that perfect love. It's not some kind of a idea that we're going after. It's a person. It's you, Jesus. It's you, Jesus. We're going to talk to you as we go in our cars. Even if there's another person in the car, we can go ahead and just talk out to you. They'll understand because they were here. And they, maybe that'll encourage them to speak out to you. Jesus, rescue me from my fears. Rescue me from this situation I'm in. Have people pray for one another in their car as they leave today, God. As they hear about the things going on in another life. Husbands and wives praying over one another. Not just talking about how long the service went. Yes, Lord. Do it, God. It's a miracle. Father, we release your children to you. They're your children. Take care of them in this holiday season. Everyone safe. Everyone increasing in health. Divine health over each person here, God. And the ones that we know about that are struggling in the health area, we say Jehovah Rapha is the name for them. God, their healer. God, their healer, Jesus. We receive you and your 700 names for us. You are a strong tower we run to and find safety. Jesus, perfect love. All you need is love, love. Love is all you need. How weak. You need Jesus, the perfect lover and the perfect love. Yes, take him with you today in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Be blessed.